All right. Good to see those that are here, though, as we start a new class segment called The Big Picture. As I had announced that I was going to do that before our, I would say, picking up our study in Jeremiah, because we're already about halfway into Jeremiah. I intend for the coming weeks to talk about this big picture with the 17 time periods in mind. Now, I want to start off with some questions first, though, here. I want to ask, what is this and what does this signify?
Looks like phone
number. Oh, good job, Marie. Took a few seconds there, and Marie was able to spot it, right? Has mom's phone number. Yep. And it's important that you have the exact numbers. Otherwise, you dial somebody else, right? If you change the 6455 to a 6456, you would dial my sister. And so, what is the difference there? Well, you see the difference is the dashes, right? We break up a phone number so as to make it easier to remember. That's the whole reason why they introduced it with dashes. Believe it or not, that is the truth. It's because they knew that it'd be easier to remember a smaller segment of numbers. And so, information overload can lead to a lack of retaining in any memory work, right? You pound a bunch of facts and figures and events and people into someone's head at one time, and it's very unlikely that they're going to remember it. But you break it up, then you have a better chance for that to take place. So when you think about it, and you look at these time periods, what do you see in between each one of those? That's right. Exactly. Dash, dash, dash. Dash, 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 dash. We break it down, and we have a better chance then to remember what it is, the overall time period and history of the Bible. That doesn't quite look like it. And later on in further classes, I'll have something that looks more like an official timeline. But that really is a timeline of biblical history. We just call them periods because we've done that for so long. And Brother Waldron was so good to give us these kind of breakdowns that do indeed describe very well the various pictures or segments of Bible history. So the goal of the class was to break them down, to understand each period that we might then have a better understanding of the big picture. Now, as I originally mentioned, we might do a class for each one of them. There might be a few that doesn't have as much information in it. We might combine it with other classes. But that is kind of the goal for this, as opposed to just knowing everything at one time and having information overload like all the numbers of a phone number. We break it down. So, before the flood is the first period that we're going to study. And those are the chapters that happened before the flood. In Genesis 1, the days of creation. Genesis 2 and 3, Adam and Eve. Genesis 4, Cain and Abel. And Genesis 5, the first genealogy that's given in the Bible, and an instruction to Noah there as well. Before we dive in deeper, let me share with you this little map here. We'll be coming back to it from time to time. I like this map, and I think it was Denise that said, hey, I'd like to have that for the kids' classroom. And so I bought one online, and she did a good job putting it behind some plexiglass. But what we're going to look at here for this particular time period, if I was to zoom in, is creation, the Garden of Eden. We don't know exactly where it's at. We really don't. We have some guesses based upon some of the clues in the Bible. Perhaps here in the lower south portion of Babylon area, Iraq, modern-day Iraq, here by these rivers. It's also possible it could be up by Armenia to the north near the rivers as they intersect over here. And then you see Noah where eventually he'll land his ark there near Mount Aaron. So, we're going to talk about these first periods, this first period, before the flood, and we're going to actually look at the scriptures. We're going to be reading the scriptures. Every period may not have the ability to read through all of it. We might have the opportunity to do it this time. We'll just see how much time we have here for the class. Before I go into it, any questions or comments? Yes, Tim.
On that screen before, where it says 3,000 and 4,000.
Yes.
BC.
Yes.
BC
before Christ.
Is that what it represents for?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, they now have the more what they use in university levels, BCE. They say before Common Era. And so they've changed that because in an effort to try and remove Christ, you know, out of the dating time period. AD stands for a Latin word that means the year of our Lord. And so those are the two terms and how they break down. Good. Any other questions? All right. So we're going to go and now look at this time period. So you'll notice that I've got a rough estimate of the time period here, 4,000 to 5,000 BC. Some say maybe up to 6,000 BC. I don't like to go much further past that because then it starts to render some of the genealogy is not very accurate or useless. But a number that have just tried to stick just to the biblical record would have the creation at about 4,000 years before Christ. So let's go ahead and look at this here in Genesis chapter 1. And if I can get a reader to read verses 1 through 13, please. Sure, Liz, thank you.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields the seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit, according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb that yields the seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day.
Thank you, Liz.
Pronounced that correctly for a moment.
Yes, you did good.
Easy word to say.
Yeah, you did just fine. So those are the first 3 days of creation. I find it interesting that God, as he starts his revelation to give mankind, he starts off with probably the most basic question that man has always had. Where did I come from? Why are we here? And those questions are immediately answered in just the first few sentences of the Bible. It's because of God, and God made everything. And we see the first 3 days. What did he make on day one?
Light.
Day two? Okay. Firmament. Okay. What does that translate to?
It says here, divided the waters, like a separation from the land.
That's right. So there's the waters and, in essence, sky and sea, right? And then the third day?
Grass.
That's right. Dry land. and the grass, the trees, the herbs, those things that grow upon it. Okay, so that's what God makes there in the first 3 days, and he starts off his work of creation that we all currently right now exist upon, right? Yes, Judy?
I was going to say, I watched an interview with three of the astronauts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen it, but they all three said, when you go up there and you see the planets and you look at the Earth, you know there's a God. So there's no way you can deny it. To look at all those planets and see Earth and how perfect it is, and it, the man can live there where they can't. No. Anyway, I thought it was very informative.
Yeah. That's good. That's real good.
They also said that when they went up and left her, God said up to be light and all that. I hear that on the radio every morning, 96.7.
Oh, okay.
They said that every morning something starts around 11 and they talk about that. It's real interesting. 6 o'clock.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad that they were willing to acknowledge that and do so publicly. That's good. Miss Nancy?
I think it's amazing.
Good, good. Anybody else? Okay, let's keep reading here then. Verses 14 through 31, if I can have a reader for that.
Then God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over day and over night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, the cattle according to its kind, and every thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird in the air,
and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
Thank you, Denise. All right, so there we have the record of creation. It is by far and away the clearest answer to those original questions that I said that are posed by man than any other religious book that is out there in the world. God answers rationally and reasonably from what he did and communicated it to us in such a small section of Scripture. So, day four, what was made? That's right. Day five? Day six. That's right. Good. All right. So, I often like to draw, for memory's sake, to help divide it like this. The realms were created days one through three, right? You've got the light. You've got the waters divided from the earth waters and the ones from the sky. And then day three, you have the dry land. And day four through six, God populates all those realms, right? He creates the sun, the moon, the stars, which parallels with day one, light. Day two, he creates the birds of the air and then the great sea creatures, which parallels with day two, right? The very realm that he made for them to exist in. And then day six, man and animals, what a mix, right? And there they are to populate the dry land. Very good. All right. So there is the beginning of man. And then in Genesis chapter 2, we begin to see God activate man in the sense of giving him duty and responsibility and also commandments to keep. Let's read this together. And I'm going to read this, Genesis 2, verses 8 through 25. Then the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and the onyx stone are there. And the name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel, and it is the one which goes towards the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. Then the Lord God took the man, put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat it, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it you will surely die." And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." So here we come to Genesis chapter 2, the naming of the man given here of Adam, the naming of the woman given of Eve. And we see, innocence, right? They were naked and unashamed. They didn't have that sense. There was no sin in the world. We see there was work that was to be done. He was to tend and to keep the garden. We see there was trees that were given for food And then there were some to hold in reverence and respect because God had given specific commandments regarding those trees. Now, which one were those?
The tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
That's right. And what was the other tree? The tree of life. Very good. All right. And so God brought all the animals to Adam to do what?
The
name. That's right. What a unique... I mean, that would have been something else to see, right? This train of animals. Wow. I mean, that would have been something else. And then to think about the names, you know, to be given. Yes, Judy.
I was teaching children, they didn't understand that. It's important to teach them the word of kinds.
Hmm.
How did he have two white cows and brown cows and, you know, all that, or a little dog, a big dog?
Correct, yes.
It's important to pronounce when you're teaching children or even adults, these are the efforts kind.
Right. It would have taken a long time before they actually would become different varieties of each one. Correct. Good. Good. And that also helps us understand, too, the ark and the animals going on the ark as well, too. Yes, Tim?
I got a question for my real life class.
Okay.
So it says that he made the trees for us to eat food.
Mm-hmm.
Was the animals prohibited for us to eat?
From what I understand, it looks like the record is showing that he gave every green herb for food. You see that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 30. Right, right. So my understanding about it is this, is that before sin, there was no death in the world. And so all would have ate plants until that time. That's my understanding about that. Oh, good question. Yes?
So even though there was no death, they had to have some kind of understanding, because it said,
"Or
you shall surely die."
Yeah.
I mean, though there hadn't been death, they had to have some understanding of it.
I don't know in what way they did. We studied before that the word death just literally means a separation. So in what way they'd be separated, it may not have been clear. But they knew that it wasn't going to be good. And we definitely see that they'll experience the physical separation from God in the garden once they fail. Yes. Good. Okay, let's keep reading then, because I want to make sure we're able to get the highlights here in time. We want to see the first sin, and temptation and sin enter the world. Can I have someone read Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7? 1 through 7, please. Sam, thank you. Thank you, Sam. Somehow I lost connection with the... There we go. With the projector. All right. So there we see Satan take the form of a serpent, tempt them to eat the tree, the very tree that God commanded. It was one of the simple commandments that God had given, easy to understand, and they take the bait of the great tempter, because we learn ultimately that this tempter is against us and seeks to divide us from God and fellowship with God. And so we see Eve was tempted. She gives to her husband. He is tempted. They both eat. And then all of a sudden, what was once unknown to them becomes known to them. What's that? Yes. And so sin enters, And that tells us that the public form of nakedness is sin then, right? Because now all of a sudden we have an awareness of it. Now all of a sudden we are ashamed of it. And they sought to make coverings to clothe themselves, which we learn were inadequate because they still hide, knowing that they're in some way naked before God, and God will take care of that. Now, what we learn is that God goes to Adam in the garden and then begins to pronounce cursings upon the serpent, upon man, and upon woman because of their transgression. Can you remember some of the cursings? I know we haven't read them yet, but I'm testing you here.
They're going to have to, curse would be the ground where they would have to work it. The briars, thorns, that kind of thing. And hers would be pain and childbirth. And
that's right.
Satan's would be eating the dust of the ground or something like that, crawling on his belly.
That's right. The serpent would then crawl from there on. Good. All right. So those are the things that are very important. And what we learn here at the end of Genesis chapter 3 is that he goes on to say, God says this in verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. And so man has been separated, right? They have died spiritually. They are now going to begin to die spiritually because sin brings death. The wages of sin is death. We learn that later on. So then we're going to see in chapter 4, now we'll start to see animal death. Yes, Ron.
In verse 21, we actually see animal death.
There. True.
They died, they sinned. Because of the sin, something had to die. And, you know, he had to kill an animal.
To make the skins. Correct. Was that all you were going to add on?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. So, yes, that is true. An animal would have had to die to be these skins to be produced. But now we'll see an animal die so that they might worship God and bring an offering to God. So let's read Genesis chapter 4 and verses 1 through 5. Who could read that for us, please? Nancy, okay.
Now, as immediately she swallowed, when she perceived the Lord's face, and said, I have acquired a name from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, the Cain was a tiller of grain. And in the process of time, the Cain passed, Cain followed all of the tree of grain. Abel also brought up the firstborn of his flock and of his cattle. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and stamped his foot.
All right, so we're now introduced to Cain and Abel. First recorded sacrifice. Why is a sacrifice needed?
Obedience to God.
Okay, that's right. God would have commanded it. He would have asked them to do this. That's why one's was accepted, one's was not accepted. Now, do they have the full understanding of why an animal sacrifice, or at least from what we see here in Scripture?
I don't think they have a full understanding.
Right. But what they are beginning to learn is that sin has a consequence. And sin does now indeed bring death into the world. And God has asked for this death. And also, we learn that God is also expecting man to bring for worship what he's asked. Right? It's one of the first lessons taught in the Bible. When God says, I want worship, and then he tells us how to worship him, he doesn't want us to bring something else. He doesn't want us to twist something or do something different, but just simply bring that worship that he asks us to bring. Yes?
Because we can see from Abel's sacrifice that he understood what God wanted, so we know that somehow God had relayed that information to them.
Yes.
We have to know how he did it. We just know that he did it from Abel's actions.
Right. For it to be just and right, he had to have informed them. And so they both knew. Good. Yes.
This reminds me that people are the same today as they were back then. Therefore, the Bible applies to us today. It's like the effect that we have jealousy today between siblings and between people.
Yes.
There's jealousy here. We have the same sins today that in the Old Testament a long time ago.
Right.
People don't change. We still have the wrongs.
Good point. That's right. Still human, aren't we? And those tendencies that Satan could take advantage of and use are the same. They're the same.
And Hebrews tells us by faith, which includes obedience.
Correct.
That's the reason God really
needs that. That's right. That's right. So your knowledge of the Bible, while you understand other scriptures, you are able to plug them in to what we read here. Someone that's new to the Bible might not know Hebrews 11:4 talks about that, right? And so that's good. That's kind of why we're doing this, is so that we kind of build this network of understanding, so that, okay, when I read these other scriptures, like in Hebrews, I can connect those dots. Good job, Judy. All right. So we're also going to read of the first murder. So let's do that real quickly here. And let's pick up our reading in verse 8. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where's Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be on the earth." So God curses now Cain because of what he had done to his brother. So we've seen the first animal death. Now we see the first human death, right? The first human now die, and it happens to be at the hands of his own brother, as Miss Nancy said, because of jealousy. Didn't like how he was favored, his brother was favored, and his offering was not respected, and so he rose up and killed his brother. We also know that God notices when blood is shed, innocent blood is shed, and so God will hold those guilty in account for what they have done. So Cain is cursed, and he is going to be pushed away from the family. Now, in time, you're going to learn a little bit more about Cain's genealogy, but that really becomes almost a side point because it's Adam and his genealogy that kind of takes center stage next. So look there in Genesis chapter 5, Genesis 5 and verse 1. It says, "This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day that they were created." Now listen to this. Tell me what's interesting about this. "And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. And begot Seth, the days of Adam, after he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died."
That's a lot of candles on that birthday cake.
Ah, yes. Yes, you saw what I was trying to get at there. Here's the first genealogy. More people are given. And we see the ages of these individuals were extraordinarily long, right? Look with me there again in Genesis chapter 5. Let's just read Seth's genealogy here, verse 6. "Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died." And on, one can go down the list till you finally get to Methuselah, right? Methuselah there in verse 27. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And so extraordinary long lives were given to these first humans that were on earth. Now, sometimes individuals think that just cannot be. Well, yeah, as we know it today. But as we've just read of a God who can create a universe out of nothing, this would be just small work, right? We don't know the conditions that existed. We don't know a lot of the things that took place, but we can trust God's word. This is the case. Now, let me ask you a question. And this might be a good question for Tim Gomer, because he works with plants and trees and all of that. So around this area here in Kentucky, what would you say is the longest a tree might live?
Most average trees are living anywhere from 50 to 60 years.
Okay. Kind of differs based upon the tree, right? But Tim, the man who works with trees, said 50 to 60 years. Did you know you can go to California and visit the redwood trees that date almost 2,200 years old? Now again, if someone just had a basic understanding of trees in this area, they might say, well, that's impossible. And yet we know they exist. Even if we were to say trees in the area might live 200 years, that's a long time. But those trees are 10 times older than those trees that we would say are 200 years old. And so for us then to think, if they're still trees, right? They're just of the tree kind. Then for us to think that there's men of mankind, that if he lives a long life, he lives 100 years. But at some other time period, in some other place in the world, that there could have been some that lived nearly 1,000 years, 10 times what man lives. See that? If we can understand it with the trees, we can understand it with man as well. With God, all things are possible, right? And so that's something to just kind of keep in mind if you're ever talking about that with individuals. We also learned that men begins to grow corrupt, right? That's going to take place, especially in chapter 6. And so that's why God then begins to focus on individuals that walked with him. Okay? We notice there's something special about them. Verse 24, it says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." So everybody else was dying, but not Enoch. He didn't die. There was something special that separated him from everybody else. And the Bible makes sure we understand it's that he walked with God. So here's this fellowship that he had with God, right? It's almost a picture of what Adam lost in the garden, right? Because God, in a sense, was walking through the garden in the cool of the day, right? So at one time, Adam may have walked with God, right? But now we're separated. But here's Enoch who walked with God. And we're going to learn of Noah, who also walked with God as well. We have to just real quickly skip to chapter 6 and verse 9, where you see there it says Noah walked with God.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So, this is me, you know me. So, God walked with Enoch.
Mm-hmm.
So, explain to me what you mean by that.
It means that he had fellowship with God.
But he was a human.
Correct. Yes. Yes. So it's in a sense, we walk with God as well. So it's living a life in concert with God. And the Bible depicts it as if he's walking with us. Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says, "Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" And so it's a picture of two in agreement. Two living their life together. And so he was close to God. He was close to God. And so Noah is also close with God. Yes, Judy.
For there being a time span between all this, it's not like our time that we think, like, oh, he fell away from God, it's just been no time. But hundreds of years, maybe.
Yeah, hundreds of years.
Decades.
before falling and falling away.
Yes.
That helped me understand it.
Yes. It's amazing.
Real quick, since you brought up Noah, in answer to the other question I asked Google, first recorded permission from God to eat meat was after Noah. When he listed all the animals, the beasts, the fowl, and the fish, it said in Genesis 9:3, every moving thing that liveth on the earth shall be meat for you.
Right.
So that's the first time he allowed it.
Right.
Gave permission.
Yes, that's my understanding too. Okay, just look back up here real quick. We talked about that first time period, and we just discussed the first like 1,500 years of recorded history in 5 chapters in Genesis. Pretty amazing, isn't it? And so now we have a better understanding of this little block here, and then we're going to go towards the flood in our next study of the big picture. All right, so we'll pick that up on Sunday, Lord willing. We'll dismiss our class for now.